Novelist Patricia Highsmith once said that taking up writing was not really a choice for her.
Ever since I was 16 or 17, I get what is sometimes called creepy ideas.
Here she is explaining decades ago about how those creepy ideas became a body of work known the world over. Traditional mysteries with very untraditional views of morality and men.
I often victimize a man in my story. They're influenced by the circumstances that hit them, and then they succumb to temptation or something and do something they shouldn't.
Patricia Highsmith's books have been drawing men and women into her dark, creepy world since she first gained success with the novel Strangers on a Train. Highsmith, who died in 1995, has been a favorite of Hollywood directors who steer toward the psychological thriller. Todd Haynes loves the dark, sometimes creepy places where gender and sexuality become blended and collide with so-called proper conduct. Haynes' newest film, Carol, is based on Highsmith's The Price of Salt. A woman named Carol falls in love with a young sales girl named Therese. A meeting at a shop, then a meal, then an invitation.
What do you do on Sundays?
Nothing in particular. What do you do?
Oh, nothing lately. Maybe you'd like to come visit me sometime. You're welcome to. At least there's some pretty country around where I live. Would you like to come visit me this Sunday?
Yes.
Cate Blanchett plays Carol and Rooney Mara stars as Therese. Todd Haynes says his two lead actresses play characters standing at the edge of a moral chasm that was ripped open in the 20th century and continues to widen today.
What you encounter in Carol is these two extremely different and interesting characters at very different places in their lives, very different stations in the world, occupying different kinds of power over the other. And Carol has a complicated backstory, and she has had a relationship with a woman that we know about, played by Sarah Paulson, her friend Abby. The friendship has survived this relationship, this love affair. It's had a clear impact on this marriage of hers that's falling apart. But for Therese, played by Rooney Mara, I think she really is piecing together the vernacular of her feelings and what the vicissitudes – sorry for that Freudian term – but what the implications of this desire really does mean for her. And I think that part of it is a process of negation. Like she sees this butch femme couple at one point in the movie in a record store, and there's a moment of aversion. You know, so it's a process of elimination in some ways as to who she really is.
Do you think the oppression of women and the forbiddenness of being gay conflict, make it harder to tell a love story in this particular
film? In fact, quite the reverse. I think what love stories always require first is an obstacle that keeps the lovers apart. And you have to believe that there's some reality for that, some viability in that, you know, and that gets maybe harder to imagine as we move forward in a progressive society, why two people can't be together. But also the fact that there isn't a language for it or a representation for it for these women means that it's the silences in the movie, the glances in the movie, the music, the cinematography, all of the other elements of what makes a movie great have a more important role to play in telling the story, because it's not just about words anymore. So in that way, I think it's all fueled by those interesting omissions.
How is this movie that is about choices that these women have to make about who they are and what they are as they enter this relationship that's so important to them, how do their choices reflect choices you had to make in your own creative life, in your own personal life? How is it a narrative about the choices we all make and what we look at and say, it's not me, but this is me, but, you know, that sort of thing?
That's interesting. I think about something Phyllis Nagy, the screenwriter, has said and really admired about The Price of Salt and what she tried to preserve in her adaptation of the script, and I think it's in the film, is a sense of the unapologetic, a sense of the not, like, really searching for the Freudian sort of explanation for or the guilt that might be associated with certain realizations of who you are. But more, and this is, and this I think again speaks to something very universal, regardless of the kind of sexual object we're talking about in life, whether it is of the same sex or a different sex or whatever. It's more that it's about an affirmation of you as a self, period, solely. So that when they return their feelings to you, that's all you needed to know. And if they don't, that's all you needed to know. You know, it's a kind of battle of the self. And I guess in some ways as a filmmaker, I've sort of forged ahead without really necessarily expecting to land in any particular one place, without a particular goal. I'm going to become a feature filmmaker who puts out narrative features each year. I never really began with that expectation about my work. There seemed to be a more diverse, in challenging or challengeable audience when I began my work in the early 90s, you know, still coming out of experimental film and experimental theater. I mean, I always think of something Fran Lebowitz said, that the AIDS era, we didn't just lose artists, but we lost an audience. We lost audiences that demanded complexity from the artist, you know.
To reference some Hollywood meringue, you're kind of riding the Cate Blanchett rocket right about now, and it's possible that you could be standing up there on Oscar night. Exciting, optimistic times to have survived
from
the AIDS crisis.
Absolutely true.
What do you carry with that in terms of responsibility as an
artist?
Oh,
just so much. That's a big one. Just so much. So much loss of so many amazing people, and the opportunity to have had. To have been able to work with so many of them before we lost them, and that's extraordinary. A partner of mine, James Lyons, who was a boyfriend but also a editor of mine on many movies, and an amazing guy, who he did pass away in 2006 from HIV. But I just met his nephew at the Cincinnati Film Festival, who just introduced himself to me, and it just broke me in two, because it just felt like, wow, we've all. You know, some of us are moving on and continuing on, you know, and then there's people who didn't get to do that, you know, but they carry so much weight in my life.
And they'll be under the lights if this film gets the notoriety along with you.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
So many.
It's all part of
artists from that era. I have a huddled mass of friends and names that they lost.
Definitely.
That they carry with them always.
Yes.
Well, Todd, it's so great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, John. It was a pleasure.
Todd Haynes is the Oscar-nominated director of Far From Heaven, I'm Not There, Safe, and many other films. His newest film, Carol, is in theaters now.